Right? So, Misbar Gogagal Makivas Kol Olam Shmanasar. So there are a total of 18 spheres that surround Earth, okay? O Misbar Kol Gogagal Maktanam Shena Makivin Shmana. But there's 8 spheres that do not surround the Earth, okay? Remember, if you guys remember that picture yesterday? Imagine this in three-dimensional form, but spheres, and then you have like spheres within spheres, or spheres orbiting other spheres. Okay. Now this is important. So knowledge of the stars and the working out the times, day, year, etc. on the ruach sof and ruach darom, as well as the spinning of the directions north south. And megavim al arts grivasan. That's also important. How far they are from Earth and how close they are. They were able to measure that as well. Sort of. We'll get that in a second. Yuvada misbra kol elo gagalim mitzuros halichasam derech grivasan. Knowledge of all this stuff. Knowledge of the spheres. Knowledge of all these areas. Vizuhi chachmas cheshmon tekufos mazalos. This is astronomy. Okay? Now, the term used in the Gemara of mazalos, okay, we'll get to look specifically later on. Unfortunately, that has a different connotation. The word, like when people say mazal tov, right? They're not referring to, right, not good constellation. But mazal is actually going to mean constellation. So, that when he says mazalos, don't think of like, what the other connotation is, which we're not going to get into.
Say mazal tov to a couple, it's like good enough that you guys are getting married.
Right.
Like,
You're not saying to them, have a great constellation. Okay.
Well, you're saying good luck, and luck is based on the constellation.
Right, so that's why I'm saying, like, mazal here does not, for him, mean astrological. It means astronomical.
Astrology.
Exactly. Okay, of course, the ancient Greek astronomers, they're the ones who wrote great books on this stuff. All right, so, yeah. Okay. Next, Gagal Tashi. So remember the ninth sphere, right? So that's the one that kind of, that's like the main sphere, so to speak. Exactly. It's the pilot. So Shehu Makif is a call. It surrounds everything, right? Chilku Chachamu Makarmon L'Shnei Masar Chelik. So they divided that up into 12 parts. Okay, Cholk V'Chelik Helu L'Shem. And they gave each Chelik a name, okay? Al Shem Tzur Shetarabo Mina Chachamim Shel Matameh Menu Shehen B'Chuvon Atakhtav. And based on certain appearances. So they would look at these gathering of stars and say, wow, they have a certain type of appearance, and they gave that appearance a name. Can someone give me an example of one of those clusters of stars that have a certain type of appearance?
Orion.
What? Okay, so, right, but Orion's better, like, or like Cancer or Scorpio or things like that. Big Dipper is a little bit different. It has a different name, all right? So the Rambam says, Venemel Zol Shishmosa. Now, these actually have, first of all, you'll see these crop up in one of the kinos, if I remember correctly. One of the kinos has them listed, and you'll see in Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh there's actually a halachic significance to these. They're used to help calculate the moon. But what are they?
I think it's on the left kino.
It is, right? Yeah. All right. Tala, Shor, Taomim, Sartan, Arya, Besula, Moznayim, Akrav, Kashas, Gedi, Dali, Dugim. Okay? Dugim, for instance, is not fish. Close enough. Not fish. What's it called? Means of the P. No.
Pisces.
Okay. All right, good. Gagal Tashi Atzmo. Now the actual ninth sphere, Ebo lo chaluka v'lo tzura mikol tzurus eilo kocha. Now the ninth sphere itself, again, presumably because it's in control of everything, doesn't have in it separation or a shape or things like that or stars. Elo b'chibro kocham shabagagal shmini hu sheyira. Rather, what you see in the ninth sphere is you see as if the stars of the eighth sphere are kind of embedded in it. That's the appearance it gives off. B'chacham gdolim shabo. And it's with the large stars that are in them. But it's kind of, again, it's an optical illusion, so to speak, an optical illusion, because it's not really in the ninth sphere. Okay? Sort of. It's just like, it's hard to explain because when you look up in the sky, you don't really see any divisions between the spheres. But if you think, what would appear is, imagine like the top of the Earth, the top of, right, we would call Earth, whatever. The top of space is the dome, right? You're looking up. So the stars look like they're at the top, right? Which would seem like they're in that top area. But he's saying they're not. There's still something above them, so to speak. They just appear to be lodged in there.
What's in the ninth sphere?
Good. Ve'elo shnei mesrei tzuros lohayu mechuvonos el bizman ha'mabul. Now, when the initial astronomers, we're not getting into the historicity of this, okay? All right. When the initial people looked up in the sky, who fancy themselves as astronomers, right, looked up and figured out these constellations, it was around at the time of the flood, okay? I.e. the flood in the Torah. Shebo helu lahen shemos elu. And that's when they came up with these names. But here's the problem, so to speak. Where they were then has changed. Okay, the positions of the constellations ever so subtly change. So therefore, he says, because the stars in the eighth sphere move. They do change position, right? Just like the sun and the moon. However, but they go a lot slower. So, for instance, the amount of time it takes for the sun to make one revolution, which is
a
day. No, a day from our perspective. We're not talking about the solar system. Our perspective, right? A star, so to speak, will travel about 70 years.
Wait, the Earth is moving, not the sun.
No, what do you mean the Earth is moving?
You just said that the,
you now, next. Kol and irin, yesh men kol katanim, yesh men kol echamen, gadol arts, kamapamim. So the stars, some are very tiny, right, small than Earth, and some are larger than Earth. Even, so, the arts gadolim in erech, marbaim pamim. Now, this is interesting, okay? The Earth is 40 times larger, right, than the moon, okay? Now, that's actually fairly accurate. The moon at its greatest, it's actually fairly accurate. It's not that far off. However, the sun is 170 times larger than the Earth. That's not accurate. Therefore, the moon is what was it again? It's 160.
It's roughly a quarter.
One 168th of the sun. Okay. But however, this makes a lot of sense. Of all the stars, no star is bigger than the sun. And none of them are smaller than Mercury. And that's great. That's a good. Mercury being the smallest planet, right? The sun in the sky is appearing as the largest one. So they thought the sun was mad. What?
Pluto's the smallest
planet. Pluto's not a planet.
I'll die on this hill.
Okay.
Pluto wasn't discovered yet.
Remember? Maybe because there wasn't a planet.
Right. You got a couple planets before to get there. Okay. So are you good? Okay, now comes the switch. Okay, now we're going to get back into something a little more metaphysics, okay? Not that they themselves are non-physical. Okay. Now, all these stars and spheres, etc., they all are alive. Okay, and they have wisdom and knowledge. They're able to know. And not only that, they're able to stand, so to speak, and recognize God. All right. That's should sound very familiar. Just like the malachim have a hierarchy. All right. These spheres. And the stars also have a hierarchy, right? So there's literally within this area of physical existence a hierarchy of which ones are able to give greater praise or have a greater understanding of God and which ones have less. And what do they do? What do these stars do all day, so to speak? They give praise to God. Okay.
Did Rambam just admit that aliens...
Now, just like they're able to recognize God, they're also able to recognize themselves, so to speak, and the malachim. Now fits. That's the end of the pyramid, right? So you have man, right? Then above that are the spheres, planets, stars, and then above that are malachim. That is the pyramid of knowledge that exists, and that's going to lead to what? Well, I wouldn't even call him top. He's above the pyramid. You know what I mean? Yeah. Bara hakel lemata migalgal reach. Now that we've gone from it's brilliant, right? We've gone from here, right, down, right, to we'll call this the Galgalim world. Now comes us. So God created a different type of matter. A different type of matter, right? Below the sphere of the moon. Golem echa, chenuk golem agagolem. It's a different material, different substance, different matter, right? Ubara arba tzuris golem zeh. And in this primordial matter, he created four different forms. Hard to describe it exactly, all right? We'll call them four templates. It's going to become elements, okay? We'll call them, I want us to use form for now because it's very platonic. Okay, for those in the philosophy class, we discussed Plato's forms. Here we're talking about essential forms. What are the four essential forms, right? He took each form, let's give an example of one, fire. But fire exists in its pure form as an abstract thing, and then the fire, the essence fire, has to be tied to some type of unspecified matter. So imagine the matter is like, in my mind, I think of like this big clump of clay, right? Now I have fire, I take this big clump of clay, match it to fire, boom, it becomes what we relate to as physical fire. Okay? Happens by water, earth, and air. Okay? So we said, Tzur Rishona, Tzur Sa'esh. So the first one is the form of fire. Nishabra b'mixas golem zeh. Right? V'niya mishneim guf esh. So once the form of fire, right, combines with this primordial matter, what does it become? Physical fire. Is that clear? So I don't know how to. It's like what was I thinking? There's a game like this, like a board game. But anyway, it's like imagine again. You see like a picture, if you want, so to speak, of fire, earth, etc. It just exists in the abstract. And what God does is he takes this primordial matter and then combines the essence with that, and that becomes what it is. Okay? Now, so lamatami harakia arba gufim mechulakin zeh lamal mizeh. So now let's think about it. Now we have these four elements, right? Now we'll use the term element, which means form, right, combined with substance. But they're going to be layered, meaning one is heavier than the other, right? Now each one actually surrounds the other in some sense. There's an actual as concept. Well, in this tzura form, they actually surround the other because, as you know, right, a guf rishon asamach galgal reach. The first guf, which is closest, meaning the lightest one, so to speak, furthest from the flat land, closest to the moon sphere, right? Who guf eish is going to be fire because fire is
light,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone understand that? Like, if you think about it, and it's going to sound strange, but if you think about it, fire.
How is fire?
So he says, we'll get to that. Then he says, the mati menu kufa yerech, mati menu kufa mayim, mati menu kufa art. So you go from fire, right, to wind, to water, and then the heaviest thing, right, is earth. All right? That's why if you go into the water, right, into the ocean, what's on the bottom of the ocean?
Earth.
Okay. He says, "V'ein b'neim malkam pani below gavkla." Right, but there's no area in between them of these forms that exist. There's no empty space whatsoever. Arba gufus elu. Now here comes the key. Einan bali nefesh, v'inanodav lo makirin. So the elements themselves are not technically alive, and they don't know anything. They don't recognize anything. Elak gufa mason. They're like dead things. They're inanimate. That's what they literally are. These again, fire is inanimate. All right, the yishgalach avehem minog sheinu yodav lumasiga eni ochel ishanosa. Right, and each one has in it, so to speak, an inability to be changed. Meaning, this is where the idea of an atom actually. Aristotle wasn't that far off. He didn't just go as far as Democritus. There is a certain point where you hit. For those reductionists here, the reductionist point you hit is the elements. You can't break down fire into anything smaller. Okay, just like you can't. They used to think you can't break down a proton to anything smaller, even though we realize that's not true. You can't break down an element to anything smaller. That is the smallest components, the building blocks of Earth. Vizesh Amar David Halu Hashem in Arts Hanim Chol Demos Eish Rashi Vitor In Devarim Haluk Bnei Adam Migvurosa Shetiru BeEish Uvard VeShar Brum Shetiru Lamata Minarakia Shigvurosam Tamin Ikaras Agadol VeKata. Now that's going to be. This is the shift now when we get to man. And by the way, what we were talking about before, what makes human beings so fascinating? If this were the pyramid, okay? So we have Malachim here, right? Then we have
planets,
right? And then we have Earth, inanimate, right? So humans are very unique. Now you can see why the uniqueness of humanity becomes so critical. Because where do we sit, so to speak? Well, sort of. We're on Earth, right? Meaning
we're
that as a
material,
one part of us, and at the same time, there's some sort of
spirit knowledge.
This wisdom part that we have. So man sits in a very fascinating junction point between the top part of this pyramid and the bottom part.
Hey, what are they think?